In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well. Curiouser and curiouser. The Bears keep going through this football season, and now they've made the move, and Thomas Graham is the man, and he was introduced yesterday, and impressive guy. Much better at the podium. Don't know how he'll be as a play caller, but significantly better than Shane Waldron was at the podium.
Yeah, and I think he's better in front of the room as a whole when you talk about what really matters when he's talking, and that's standing in front of the offense in the meeting room and having a presence and being dynamic because, you know, it's a significant part of the coordinator's job on either side of the ball is selling the vision and selling the game plan and getting buy-in from the players. Like, if you go through that process and you don't have buy-in from them, it's going to be difficult to get to Sunday and be sharp and look good and execute at a high level. He's a guy that is dynamic in front of the players. I think he can energize them in the meeting room. I think he will have their focus. Now, what will that mean in terms of execution, production, and performance? That remains to be seen, but he's a completely different guy, and they need to flip the switch on this, right? There's 8 games to go. This isn't 3 games to go where it's the season's completely dead. Like, they've got a chance to do something here to make some noise in the division, but it's got to happen almost immediately.
Brad, I want to get your reaction to what I termed earlier the quote of the year, and it came from Keenan Allen, and to me, it implicates everything and everybody and talks about and speaks to just the lack of a standard at Hallis Hall. This is what Keenan Allen had to say yesterday.
For me, I'd probably say just probably too nice of a guy. I think OTA's training camp, we kind of fell into a trap of letting things go, not holding people accountable, and obviously those things get into a little slippery slope.
So what types of things are you talking about?
Just being, you know, kind of professionalism, just doing things the right way from the beginning.
That was Keenan Allen on Shane Waldron. Brad, what was your reaction?
Well, I don't know how much OTAs Keenan was at, but they probably got attendance records somewhere at Hallis Hall on that. But yeah, and listen, the players were ready for a change before Monday, right? Like, and what'd you hear him talk about all along, like the details. Well, you know, what can slip when that happens? They made the wrong choice, which is really, I mean, it's just hard to believe. They talked to 9 guys, and he's the only guy that gets a second interview. It's confusing to me. Clearly, there was some type of flaw in the process, right, to get to him. But
was there a process? This is the question. Brought people in. Exactly.
They flew all over the country.
Right,
they flew all over the country.
But
one guy in.
So did Trace pick their offensive coordinator
for them?
And was one of the prerequisites a guy that was not good enough in front of the room that he looked like a head coach?
I don't worry about that one quite as much because it's really rare when you see the head coach dumped and his replacement come in house. Like that doesn't happen very often. It certainly, you know, one instance I can recall was in Tampa when the Bucks got rid of Lovie Smith and Dirk Cutter became the head coach, but I don't think that's a real thing that people worry about because if you're at a point generally where the head coach has got to go, then pretty much everybody's going.
Brad, I'm curious about the reports out there about players going to Matt Eberflus and veteran players wanting the quarterback replaced. I mean,
yeah,
mother of God.
I don't believe that happened. I don't think there's a story there.
Okay.
Well, the story from Caleb Williams yesterday, he sounded like a guy pretty serious. He sounded like a guy who had his confidence maybe beaten down a little bit. Brad, what did you make of the way that he handled this change, and what effect do you think it might have on his performance?
I think he handled it well. You know, he's basically like, hey, I've got a job to do, right? And I've got to go out and do it. And he's a rookie, and he can't afford to focus on anything other than doing his job. I think there's a possibility that if Caleb's energized and everybody around him is energized, that they can get some more even performances from him, that they can get back to it. You're looking at it and you're saying, okay, yeah, I could see this. Because listen, the guy's got a world of talent. No one is going to dispute that. What would I expect Thomas Brown to potentially do? Talking to people who worked with him in Carolina, you could see some half-field reads where they're getting him on the move a little bit. You could, because they don't want to have the quarterback in the same spot the whole time, or at least Thomas didn't a year ago with Bryce Young, which, like, that experience didn't go well for the Panthers or Bryce or Thomas or really anyone involved. But hopefully he learned some things in doing that can be applied here as well. So I think... we'll see some better performances from Caleb. They've got to find a way to protect him. You know, I thought one thing Thomas said that was interesting yesterday, guys, was, you know, trying to get the ball out of his hands quickly, and then when the moment's right, allowing him to take advantage of his unique gifts and abilities, right? And hopefully take some of the heat off him with all these sacks.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Big Z, the injury report came out. I'm a huge fan, and I think it's been very determinant of what is going to happen in a few of these games this year. It was good to see both tackles back, albeit in a limited process. What was your take on what you saw out of the injury report? I mean, obviously, huge red flag if Montez Sweat can't play or is slowed or is not at his full strength against Green Bay.
Yeah, the sweat thing you got to keep an eye on. But I think he finished the game last week. So today, you know, I saw the sweat thing yesterday. I'm like, oh, okay. But today should be a little more revealing on that. I firmly believe both offensive tackles are tracking to start in this game with Braxton having missed the last two games and Darnell missing the one. And then, you know, Tevin Jenkins, I like, you can't, you're that's hazardous to try to figure out what's going on with him health-wise, because it's just the guy's always got something, right? So hopefully he's well enough to play on Sunday, but the availability piece with him is something that has really marked his first four seasons in the league with the Bears.
So, Brett, I'm going to go back to this big picture idea that getting rid of Shane Waldron and elevating Thomas Brown, what it all represents. Because I think when you look at the process that we have criticized now, and you look at this week, which is the wrath of Ryan Poles, when he fires the handpicked offensive coordinator and he cuts Nate Davis, are we going to hear from him? Why haven't we so far? Because we can talk all we want about Matt Eberflus and how shaky he is at the microphone and how this is his eighth assistant coach has either resigned or been fired in the last 15 months. But I would like to hear from the man who hired Matt Eberflus and retained him this year, because eventually that's where this all is headed. Accountability is a word. Yes, there are consequences that we're seeing this week, but it doesn't stop at Matt Eberflus. I think it goes higher than that, and I'd like to hear from Ryan Poles. When will we?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I don't believe that he'll chat this week. I think he's been pretty straightforward about some of the things that haven't worked previously, right? Like, you know, they traded for Chase Claypool and they dumped him, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to wear that one, you know. And I think if he was to talk today, he would be candid about how things didn't work out for Nate Davis. But these guys, you know what they need to do? They need to find a way to get the focus on the football field, you know. Like, they had the fallout in Washington at the end of that, and all the crap for them that much of it self-created,
yep,
that followed. Like, they haven't been able to keep the focus on, like, hey, we're playing the Packers Sunday or that type of thing. And it's not unusual for general managers to not have media availabilities in season. So I don't think this is like, Poles is being evasive.
They're in crisis mode. They're in full-fledged crisis mode, though, Brad.
Right, and I'm just spinning this around. Like, they're still going to be in crisis mode if Poles comes out and takes questions, right? Like, if he comes out and takes questions, is that going to change anything, you know?
So Nate Davis is cut. I mean, that's interesting just because of the timing. Did they
addition by subtraction?
And that's fine. I got no problem with that. But does that mean that he was actually healthy and he just didn't want to play when he showed up at Soldier Field on Sunday? Or hurt? Or, you know what I mean? I care.
Yeah.
But I really want to talk about his roster spot and the idea that, you know, Jay Curran now moves to the roster, and you've signed Ricky Stromberg, former third round pick. Yeah, and a guy the Bears had in here, I believe, before the draft. He was a third round pick by Washington in 2023, and I talked to a guy out there and said that they were just stunned that he couldn't play, and they didn't think he could play. So that's the reason that they let him go. What do you know about him? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, you know, the Bears could use a center. I guess what I'm saying. And if they'd use Strumberg pick in him,
Yeah, Strumberg's on the practice squad.
Yeah.
And he's coming off multiple knee injuries. He had an injury to his kneecap last season as a rookie, and then it was like a cartilage issue that was near the knee that they had to clean up back before the start of the season. So he got waived with an injury settlement by the Commanders. It was about an 8-week deal, so it took him a while to heal up. So he's just on the practice squad now. Like, that's a long play. I don't think you're looking
right.
at
it's a
that
future,
guy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You're,
it's
you're
for next year's you're, camp. You're getting there early.
Right. Exactly. And you know, like next year's camp, they
who's
going to
be here for next year's camp?
Well, learning a new offense.
Apparently, polls.
Maybe.
But, yeah, the Nate Davis thing, it could have just been some spasms on Sunday. It could have been Nate wasn't interested in putting on a uniform. I don't know. Like, you don't need some final straw thing on Sunday to be an indictment of Nate Davis's football character, right? That was lacking. And the shame of it is the team, like, really kind of stepped up and backed him at every turn. Remember the beginning of last year, his mother passed away, and he was out for, I believe it was the week 2 game. Totally understandable, right? Like, just had a death in the family. He's taking care of family business. He's not going to play football on Sunday. Comes back the next week and asks for another game off. And, you know, I don't want to minimize the grief process for anyone in a situation like that, but two consecutive Sundays off in an NFL season is a highly unusual ask by a player, and the team fully backed him. Like everything's all right. We totally support Nate. And, at the end of what was a poor season for him on the field, they backed him. We think he's going to bounce back. We like him here. He was the unquestioned starter. You know, they backed him at every turn, and I don't think he really reciprocated much at all.
Yeah, it's sunk cost week at Halas Hall because what was that? $20 million, $15 million that he...
Yeah, I mean, the guarantee on his contract was just above 19, yeah.
Yeah, and Shane Waldron gets 5 to walk away. I wonder,
wow.
You know, this is the great purge, the great midseason purge, too little, too late, because I just don't know. I mean, Brad, there could be a bounce. They could play better offensively. Packers are good. They're going to come into town with a defense that you could say arguably is better than the Bears or playing at a higher level right now because of the takeaways. I just think this is trending in the wrong direction. Maybe they get some. What's the value of momentum this week heading into the Packers game?
Well, the hope here is the Bears can, you know, and they've been. The problem is they've been circling the wagon so much. I think they're dizzy,
they're
right?
Dizzy.
It seems like that's what they've been
We're
doing.
Dizzy.
But yeah, maybe they kind of pull together here and catch Green Bay off guard because they've played so poorly. Like, you could understand some of the Green Bay players that aren't experienced vets understanding how the NFL works and, like, maybe taking them lightly. I don't know. Like, that would be something the Bears would have to hope is going to happen in this situation. Just looking at the football game, my concern for the Bears is going to be stopping the run because Matt LaFleur has dialed that up big time during a number of meetings since he took over as the head coach up there, and I think it was 2019. And with that being kind of a problem area for the Bears, they were a little bit better against New England, but I think the Packers have a better rushing attack. Like, can the Bears stop that? Because if Green Bay can come in and run it when the Packers want to, I mean, that's going to open up a world of stuff for Jordan Love, and it could be a long afternoon.
Bigsy, we'll let you go. Jaquan Brisker out again this week, and, you know, you just worry about the guy. It's been a long time Do you think he plays this year? Is that too abrupt a question?
I hate to venture a guess on head injuries.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, there's half a season left.
Yeah.
Like, you think about it, the Bears are making this change, and they've had some crisis, no question about it. And you're looking at it, and you're saying, well, when's this going to end? And then you step back, and you're like, holy smokes. I mean, they got eight games. That's half a football season is remaining. So I would not, by any stretch of the imagination, rule out seeing Jaquan Brisker on the field at some point. Like, if they thought this was, you know, he definitely wasn't going to be on the field, they obviously would have placed him on IR by now.
All right, Bigsy, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. That is Brad Biggs. 312-644-6767. It's Mullion on the Score.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between with 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack. You'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
To me, it's about what's happening right now, you know. And again, obviously, when you're there, you're saying you're making a great decision there, and it's what's happening right now. You know, we have really struggled the last 3 weeks, and I just thought for the best thing right now for the Bears, okay, for our football team, where we are in the season, was to make that adjustment.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. The adjustment would be firing Shane Waldron.
Yes, getting rid of the offensive coordinator who was hired at a point in the Bears' offseason, at a point in this tenure, this program, this regime. We identified that hire as what? The most important hire they would make. And so they interviewed nine guys. They hired the guy that nine games in is now fired.
How do you screw that up?
Well, I'm asking that. That's what I'm rhetorically asking, and I think it's a question that is layered and long and complicated. But, Molly, the simple question, I think, is when you're talking about Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus and accountability, where does hiring the wrong offensive coordinator rank on the list of Ryan Poles misses?
Listen, it's as bad a mistake as hiring. It might be a worse mistake than hiring the wrong head coach. if indeed you end up firing this guy at the end of the year.
Or sticking with the wrong head coach.
Okay.
Right?
That's fair.
One in the same?
As bad a decision. Here's the problem. The problem is that you come in here to rebuild a football team. Mm-hmm. What do you got to do to build up a football team? If you're rebuilding a team, what do you got to do? You got to get the quarterback right. You don't make any knee-jerk decisions.
Right.
You're in charge of the program. They've drafted a guy in the first round. They're starting him. He has an incredible ability to take the football and run down a football field that's loaded with defensive talent and be able to get past people and just an extraordinary ability. I don't want to undersell the skill set that Justin Fields had. But so you wait and you see, well, can he be a quarterback? Can we develop him as a quarterback? And you come to the conclusion, you get a draft pick and all these things happen and you end up and you're going to pick first overall, but you're not quite certain yet. Wasn't that the kind of conclusion? They weren't quite ready. They didn't think that the players that were there were better than that. And you know that Caleb Williams coming at some point. And so you then decide. Okay,
so you're going before the 2023 draft.
I'm talking about you as builder of football
sure,
team.
Sure, absolutely.
And then you say
it's the evolution of the Bears being built.
So maybe you saw too much of Justin Fields and C.J. Stroud. I don't know. I don't know how closely he looked at those guys. I don't know what the decision was. Obviously, you missed on that guy, but it makes it okay because Carolina missed on the guy they took before him. So you trade down in that draft. You decide you can't have a defensive tackle. You get yourself the offensive lineman. You build it. You end up with this trade of trades, and then you get back the next year. And you have discovered, nope, got to get the quarterback. So you draft, you know going in that you got to get the quarterback. You fired the offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, that was here. And now, not only are you bringing, you got a defensive-minded head coach.
But all those moves make sense.
Those make
sense.
It all comes down to, I'm taking a new quarterback. I'm bringing him in. I'm going to train him. I'm going to start him immediately. He's ready to go, but I got to have the right guy. I got to have someone that can work with them, that can control them, that can turn him. And you draft and you sign Shane Waldron.
Well,
and David, the very fact that it blows my mind. Well, think about it this way. Two offensive coordinators have been fired in this year, in this calendar, this football season. They're both guys that you fired in the last 11 months.
They're both guys that...
Isn't that the same two guys that
were hired by Ryan Poles.
What does that tell you?
And or Matt Eberflus, depending on who you believe hired these coaches. But I think that ultimately it does fall at the feet of the general manager, which is why I asked the question. Because you can have the great trades. You can have the great contract extensions and what you did with DJ Moore and Montez Sweat. And those are definitely things that are on the pro side when you're ranking pros and cons. But I do wonder, do the misses outweigh the hits? If they're as bad and as egregious as this one turned out to be, you hired the most important job. You filled the most important role with the guy that you gave 9 games or you knew after 9 games. And it sounds like they knew it sooner. Was the wrong choice. What about your process was flawed? And I think that's a bigger picture question that in the midst of a season, you don't want to ask. But at some point in time, these are the tough questions they're going to have to address. Because I don't know that the Bears are in great hands moving forward if these are the results of the decisions that were made and these were not like decisions that anyone thought were just kind of run-of-the-mill decisions. We knew then what we found out later. This was the most important hire other than the head coach.
Okay, let me say this, and I know you're not going to like this, but I will say this. I think that you hired, it was a fouled up situation where you hired your general manager while you were also operating, trying to find a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So when you brought in Ryan Poles, you let him make the final call between Matt Eberflus and Dan Quinn and who else? Wasn't there someone else?
Jim Caldwell.
Jim Caldwell. Yeah. So you brought him in and then you told him, hey, we've got the coach down to three. You can make the final call on which of these three. And maybe they asked him, you got someone else that you really like? Or I don't know. But that's basically what he did. I think that if I hire Ryan Poles and I give him carte blanche to rebuild the team and to get rid of Khalil Mack and do all the things that he did initially, that I owe it to him to give him enough time to hire a second coach, because he hired between three guys, not the guy that he wanted. He didn't do his own search.
I would agree with that if...
Except,
and I don't want to be a contrarian here, and I'm not trying to be.
I get it.
I want to agree with that because I think that is a fair way to look at it. But I go back to at the end of last season when you had an evaluation to make. And I know that what you just described is a difficult thing. A new general manager, he's got 10 days to get a guy up and running.
Young guy.
He's taking recommendations. It's the first time on the job.
Yep.
You kind of give him not a pass, but you understand why that might not have been the most efficient way to go about it.
Even the people he's holding in counsel,
but,
including his agent,
but,
may have directed
exactly.
him. I'm being honest.
Well, we're being honest here because Trace Armstrong's played a major role in this organization. You're 2 years in, and after last season, you did have some really highly qualified head coaches on the market. Jim Harbaugh.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing.
Jim Harbaugh.
But think about it from a Bears perspective.
Yeah, but
former Bears.
Yes, yes.
You know, I told you, Tim McCaskey told me years ago that he believed that Jim would someday be the Bears head coach.
You see the montage of him getting along with Justin Herbert, and you see the growth that the Chargers have made this year, and you know that somewhere along the line, the Bears made a misevaluation and not even talking to him. So you have that miss, then you have the Shane Waldron miss, and then you have things that are happening with Nate Davis miss. And I wonder, I love the trade that got DJ Moore in the Hall, and I love the Montez Sweat deal. But at some point in time, if this keeps trending in the direction it is now, these are some difficult questions. And like it or not, Ryan Poles needs to be heard from and held accountable himself.
I would not fire Poles. I would hold him separate from Eberflus. I would fire Eberflus at the end of the year if this goes the way it's trending. I would not fire Ryan Poles. I would give him a chance to hire a coach. You know, the problem
You know that now.
I'm saying right now, it is my belief that you hang on to the guy and you give him an opportunity to hire a coach. He goes and he looks for him and he picks him and he gets his own coach. And it's not picking between guys that you had already pre-interviewed. I think if I'm hiring that guy and claiming I'm backing him 100% and he's got all the chances in the world, I have to let him do that. And the problem is that means that his tenure goes from 3 years to 5 years.
That's it. That's what I mean.
I understand that.
I'm not in full agreement with you yet. I'm not there yet.
And it does stop you, but honest to God, I would definitely do that. I would. And I would let him do it. I would give him, I wouldn't just bail on him as this is going. I'm just talking about me. I'm talking about how I look at it. And I think it's only fair.
Well, I can appreciate that patience because I think you're showing that's patience.
But David, I also think.
But there's a lot of frustration
too,
Molly.
But I also think that, you know, because of the circumstances of last year, because Matt Eberflus came out and made that defense sing and did an unbelievable job as a play caller with that defense and really has at different times been that good as a defensive coordinator, he saved his job. Now, if I were involved in that process, I would have made sure that whoever was replacing Luke Getsy, if I had determined this guy's good enough on the defensive side, all we need is a guy to work with the young quarterback. That is such a miss. Shane Waldron is such a miss.
It's a defining miss.
You know, you got a strike against you as I give you another chance here. So I don't know how long or how patient I would be to use it that way. I think I'm trying to be fair about it, But I also think that you're right in the sense that you cannot, you can't undersell what a terrible, terrible hire this was. It's that you fired
because,
the guy
because
this
of
week.
Who you drafted, because Caleb Williams' arrival,
reason.
Because of what you knew going in, and you identified it as important as we're describing it. You knew that this was going to be the most important hire that your head coach is going to make. So you had the inactive miss by not going out and having a head coaching search. Then you doubled down by, you know, interviewing nine guys and hiring the guy that was too nice.
Chase Claypool, Nate Davis, those moves. Listen, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of wasted effort. But you know what? That happens.
It happens.
That happens.
It happens.
When you're a talent evaluator,
yeah, you're gonna have misses.
You're gonna make 1,000 decisions, and you're gonna get 100 of them wrong, and you still have an unbelievable strike rate.
And you could point out, you know, while we're at it, piling on, Darnell Mooney leaving and Keenan Allen coming turned out to be the wrong decision as well.
But at that point, you didn't know you were going to get Roma Dunes. I mean, I'm with you.
I know, but I guess our point is, I'm willing to be more fair about how you can miss on personnel judgments and players sometimes. Free agent signings are going to be bad. Trades could be backfired. But I think that when you're talking about coaches, you're talking about assistants, it's a different evaluation.
312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to get to all your calls. We'll do that next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
You know, we haven't really talked much throughout this time, just because we haven't, you know, been in the position to be having so many conversations. But, you know, so far I think he's pretty detailed. I think he, like Coach talked about, tough. I think it's going to help us as a football team and things like that moving forward. And we're excited.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Caleb Williams. He hadn't really met his new coach.
Did I hear that correct?
That guy was the passing game coordinator.
The passing game coordinator.
Who now is the offensive coordinator.
And they haven't talked much to the quarterback before?
And he's just kind of met the quarterback. Hey, how you doing?
What in the world is going on?
Hi. Yeah.
I know we can take some things out of context, and I know that we're not there every day, but to hear the quarterback say that he hasn't talked much with the passing game coordinator, that means they either A, need to talk more, it explains a communication problem, or B, the Bears have way too many coaches.
Wow.
They have quarterback coaches, assistant quarterback coaches, they have a passing game coordinator, they have an offensive coordinator, and oh, by the way, I know you guys reminded me the other day, they have Ryan Griffin, who's here to be mentor to Caleb, who the former Italian League star.
You know, I got to tell you.
I just have to say, that quote stood out.
Like, for a guy who was pushing the need for some kind of quarterback whisperer, you dismissed him pretty quickly.
Well, I
and
know.
And right now, you demeaned him by some Italian.
I'm not demeaning him.
Italian League star.
I have full respect for Griff.
That's, yeah. But is that how it works? It's like, you know, hi, I'm Thomas Brown. I'm your new offensive coordinator. Can I call you Tom? I'd prefer if you didn't. What about Brownie? No, just call me Thomas.
How about Coach? Because he is now the most important person for Caleb Williams moving forward.
They didn't know each other.
That's crazy.
What?
These are the communication issues they have referenced often. These are the kind of things that happen on bad teams.
We got people who've waited forever to talk about this. We can't hold off any longer. We've got to give them a moment. Shad's on the road. Hey, Shad.
Hey, Shad.
Hey, Mully. I thought y'all was on the same timetable as Ryan Poles and Warren. You know, before you got to me. It's okay. Hey, look. I love y'all.
It hurts.
A couple of days, y'all have done a great job outlining the time frame of this entire window, how the tactics have been handled by Eberflus, how the engagement of the front office from Ian Cunningham's impact on saving Ryan Poles in the draft and not blowing it up earlier and exposing him as not a bad evaluator, but not understanding the importance of the time frame with the decisions that he were making. Now, we had a lot of disagreements. I think we had, you know, our first disagreement came from between me and my boy David. It was all about the Justin Fields evaluation process. I think we agreed on the last eight games that Eberflus deserved to come back, with the situation being they had 5-3 record, right? And offense looked like they found something. Even though they weren't keeping Justin Fields, it felt like they had some type of identity based on how their defense was playing. 24 points a game. Is that not the standard that we got to hold them for this last eight games, 5-3 record, 25 points a game? Because the development of Caleb, based on Thomas Jones being hired, I believe the umbilical cord from Eberflus and Coles being a pair was cut this week. And I think the decision was made because what Mully touched on earlier is that Ryan as an evaluator didn't hire a coach, because I think he might have went Mike McDaniels. You know, having only defensive coaches or an agent offensive mind being the options when you had Justin Fields and you had to evaluate him, I don't think they ever intended on evaluating Justin Fields. I think the decision was made that they hadn't had their franchise quarterback, so they were going to fill in the blanks with the defensive guy, get him what he needed to the point that they can evaluate him. We're here now. And I think unless that they have a situation where the guy that they haven't talked to all season, Thomas Brown, to be the voice of this offense, then we should see an uptick, because there's no tape. We should see an offense that looked exactly like what we thought it would look like, and they will hit that 5-3 mark, but it shouldn't save his job. Am I wrong or right?
Thanks, Sean. Well, if they go 5-3, yeah, they're saving jobs.
Oh,
if they go 5-3 with this schedule, right, he'll keep his job. Everyone will keep their jobs.
Yeah, that means he's winning in the division.
Yeah, that means they're winning in the division. That means they finish, you know, 9-8, and the arrow's pointing up. I just have a hard time envisioning 5-3, and I don't think Justin Fields has anything to do with this conversation.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, listen, you know, asked and answered, counselor, right?
Yeah.
That evaluation, that decision is long over. And in fact, there's been like a second decision made in a different spot that has nothing to do with this. As much as everyone wants to get worked up about it, and as much as we've been blamed for not doing our part to keep them here, whatever it might be, the fact is it's over. It's gone. Let it go. Let's figure this thing out.
It's over, and it is conceivable. And even what happened was they drafted the right quarterback. They did a lousy job of surrounding him with the right people.
I cannot believe we just played audio of Caleb Williams saying that he didn't really have many conversations.
Now, somebody's accusing us on the text line of taking that out of context. Maybe he met in the last 48 hours since he got the job.
No, because Brown said he talked to him in the last 48
hours. So I know. It seems as if that there was not a direct connection between the passing game coordinator and the quarterback, which would explain, you know. But I think Thomas Brown did make a good, strong first impression. We'll talk about it more going forward, because that may be the best news of the week before things get real dark and we start to ponder the Packers.
We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk to all of you. We're going to get to all the phone calls. Mully and Haw on the score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com